Hey everyone, many blessings. Today's topic is Kuzen Azaka, Azaka Mede, Kuzen Zaka, the many names he goes by. And it's me and Indio here, where, as always, anything mysticism, espiritismo, 21 divisions, vodou, brujeria. Make sure you like, comment, follow. Make sure you check me out on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And
you can check out any of these podcasts
that on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, and your favorite podcast app. You can donate to the temple at $Hector Salva via Cash App or help@mysticalwork.com via PayPal. Moving on into the topic at hand, Kuzen, right now is the month of May, which is the month of Kuzen. Kuzen is the loa of agriculture and the loa of work. If you want, you can check out more information on HectorSalva.com as well as EzidiKonen.com for more basic information about Kuzen. I think we want to delve a little deeper today about Kuzen. So,
all right, sounds good. For sure. Real quick, Kuzen. Kuzen's half and half, right?
Yep. So Kuzen is half Indian, half African, which makes him a Creole.
Where's his relation with Gede?
So Kuzen and Gede are half brothers. Okay. Kuzen and Gede are half brothers, and they often are bickering brothers. They like to argue and fight with each other. They compete with each other.
Because they're on such different ends, right?
They're on such different ends. Kuzen is very much about saving money, keeping money, hard work. Gede is all about kind of like working least hard as possible and spending his money and stuff like that. He's not really concerned. He's more party oriented than he is serious. Kuzen's really he can be very serious about life and about things.
No, for sure. No, I've had experiences with Kuzen. And I forget one time him appearing like randomly at the house, and we went about counting his money and we like having to explain to him how the dollar, like the this meant it was $5, this meant it was $1. This coin right here is only like so much, and so on and so forth, and like, and just how like serious it was in the room, and like, you know, you can obviously feel the difference when Gede comes in. There's just a kind of more of a lightness, like life goes on, you know, we're gonna die someday, type of vibe. So yeah, but so who's the mother? Who's their parents? Like, who's the mother that makes them connected?
Okay, so
or the father, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, so here's one of the things with this part is that if you go different places, okay, depending on where you go, there's different basically
stories
about who is who and how they're connected, etc. I want to say that because these traditions are basically regional based. And so sometimes you get one place that has one story, you get another place that has another story. And however, the way that I was taught was that both of them are connected. For both of them, the common parent is the dad, which is Baron.
Okay.
Okay. One thing I like to mention about where people have different stories and things of that nature, whenever you have a story, etc., etc., one thing is that no matter what, it makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. So the story basically makes sense in relation to the nature of that loi. Okay. And it might be highlighting one aspect or another aspect of the nature of that spirit. So in one story, it might highlight one aspect, and another story, it might highlight another aspect. But in either case, they're all like talking about some form of the nature. If it doesn't match the nature of the loi, then it might not even be a real story, because I done seen out here on these internet streets that people just be making shit up.
Okay.
I'm just
okay.
Stating so things hit that
me with
happen.
The story. Hit me with the story you were told, and tell me who told you.
Okay, so I was taught this by a mambo known as Mambo Victoire, okay, in Haiti, and that mambo taught me that basically Baron was the father of both Cousin and Gede, and if you look at Cousin and Gede, what connects both those spirits is the earth. They're both spirits of the earth, and Baron is of the earth. Okay, and so that basically part, and that, you know, when you look at some of the Barons, some very few of the Barons are more comedic, like Gede. A lot of the other Barons are serious. So they say, like, basically, Gede took the comedic, relaxed side, whereas
Cousin took the that, very hard, stern side.
Yeah, the serious side and being serious about his work.
Got you.
So you see, that story, when you look at it properly, spiritually, that story makes sense. Okay, why they would be connected, so on and so forth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, that's the story between those two spirits. Cousin is married with Cousine, which is his wife. Cousine is the word for female cousin. Cousin, okay? Cousin means cousin, by the way, right? And it's just like a country terminology that country people say, everybody calls each other cousin.
Okay.
Okay? And it doesn't mean that they're actually cousins.
Gotcha.
Okay? And he lives out in the country, and she's the one that takes care of the market stuff. So that's part of the reason why Cousin doesn't really count like that. He doesn't understand money as well, because he basically does all the work to make the money. She takes everything that he farms and sells it. She makes the money and she takes care of the money part, paying bills and things like that, and giving Cousin like a little bit of money to do his thing.
Got you. So she's more business oriented and he's more work.
Yeah, she's the business side of like when you're working. Yeah. So those two spirits, and so she's seen as a market woman because she takes his stuff to market. Okay, and then Cousin and Cousine, they have good relationships with other spirits, certain other spirits, because of different aspects of them. Okay, so Aizan is the spirit of the marketplace.
So, Aizan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's a spirit that Cousin and Cousine have a good relationship with. Danto is another spirit. She's another vendor at the market.
Okay.
Okay. And they have good relationship with her. So there's other spirits in the marketplace that they have good relationships with. And Cousin, okay, is the father of a family. Right? That family, that nation, that division is called Juba.
Juba,
mm-hmm.
Which means?
It's an African word.
Okay.
So.
And who's?
Cousin is the leader.
And what other, la loa or?
It's just the family of Cousin and Cousine, and their children.
Which are who?
We don't really give those names. That was part of the secrets.
Got you. Okay. Okay.
Got because you. They're very protective over their children.
Got you.
So, those are the spirits in that group. And there's various cousins. So, it's not just one cousin. There's many different cousins.
Okay.
Okay. There are some cuisines that are more Rada and some cuisines that are more Petro. Petro and Rada, in this case, is describing the way that they're served.
Okay.
With that rite, with that ritual, that form of ritual, and with music that reflects that energetic.
Gotcha.
Okay. So there's different forms of kuzen. Kuzen is a lua that has many pathways to him. Okay, because he's everything. Kuzen is very much of the earth. So everything is connected. If we look at it, that's why we call it Mother Earth.
Which makes that whole connection to Baron as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay. So then, what's like Kuzan's backstory? Like, how did he come to be? How did they decide what, like the picture that we have for him? Who's the picture that we have for him?
So the picture of Kuzan is the picture of Saint Isidore. Okay, he's a spirit. If you see him, he's a farmer, and the story of Saint Isidore is that at some point I can't tell you the exact story.
Gotcha.
But at some point he had to do a lot of farming for some reason. Something happened. He prayed and an angel came and it started like doing the farming for him.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's
the Saint Isidore part of the story. Gotcha.
Okay. But I'm saying how they placed the connection with Kuzan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Kuzan is a really simple lua, okay? He's very simple he's simple to deal with, but he's very serious, right? And he don't play around. He's not really jokey lua. Some, he has a little bit more country comedy to him.
Yeah.
But it's not like...
It's still kind of flat.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so that's the way that he is. He, okay, came together from the union, okay, how where we are taught, from the union of the African and the Indian. He's the child of the Africans and the Indians.
Okay.
Okay, of the marriage between basically those two forces.
So, history, like, but we're not talking about, because he's half and half, does he also tend to connect to half and half people? Like,
oh, does he also connect to biracial people, let's say?
Yeah.
Okay, not necessarily who he connects to, it's more simple people. Simple people who are hardworking, especially people who like to work the land, like to be connected to the earth. He likes very kind of what we often think of as country people, but like very simple, hardworking people who, you know, they're not very materialistic overall. People mm-hmm. who have kuzen, you're not going to find, if they have a strong kuzen, okay? You're not going to find they're very materialistic. They're not too worried about stuff like that. They might like to have decent stuff, but it's decent.
Gotcha.
Okay? It doesn't have to be something that shows off.
Okay.
Okay? They're very much about... They can very much turn into workaholics, too.
Okay.
Okay? Because that's where, like, Kuzen becomes too obsessed with work.
But now, but going back to the whole point of you saying, like, he's created more because of the union of the Indians and the Africans. Are you talking about, like, the slaves, basically?
Yeah.
Okay. Because of that moment of connection they had to endure.
Yes.
That kind of formed him.
Yeah. So that, he's actually a lua that's older than that. He's a primordial spirit. Okay. But that's part of, like, the story that goes behind his appearance in the island. So let me explain to you. Primordial spirit means he's a spirit that represents the earth, the bounty of the earth, working the earth. That is older than humans.
Gotcha.
That essence is older than humans.
I got you. Okay? I got you there, but real quick.
But how he manifested and came up to importance.
Okay.
In the island.
Was because of that.
That connection helped reinforce that energy. Yeah. Of that force that we call Kuzin.
Gotcha.
Okay. And it meant also, it also relates to the Indian sharing his knowledge of the island with the African and them sharing each other knowledge.
Gotcha.
So a lot of people get really confused, and I see this like on people when other brujos and things like that, when they be doing lives and stuff like that, you know, they get all worked up and all this other stuff, and they're like, you have to understand, like, so-and-so and so-and-so is not, like, really married with each other. They're spirits. They don't really get married to each other, etc. But what that means is it's symbolic of something. It's symbolic of how the forces work together.
Yeah.
Or different aspects or histories of that force.
Got you. But what I was about to say was that, like, basically going back to that whole, you were saying how Kuzan's older than that union of, you know, the slaves and the Africans or whatever, coming, like, the Indians and the Africans coming together and so on and so forth. What I was saying is that, like, the Loa really don't have an age, right? Because, mm-hmm. like, they've kind of been here forever.
Exactly, because they're more equivalent to angels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the thing. So
yeah, it's just more like...
It's an explanation
of how...
It's symbolic.
Yeah, it's back to that whole marriage thing and... So on and so forth, how, like, these things came to be.
Yeah.
And, like, you just said, like, not that, like, you said Kuzan's been around forever, but basically because of the union of the Africans and the Indians, that created this force to grow again and come to light, basically. Exactly. Where they can now start to express him or express it or whatever, however you want to play it down. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. And so when we say different spirits are friends or they're enemies or they work together or they're married.
But basically, like for example, like Gede and Kuzan bickering.
That represents, so people are going to be like, well, spirits don't bicker. Spirits, they're highly elevated spirits. They understand each other, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what people have to understand is two things. It's symbolic. That's number one. Number two is if you see those spirits mounted on someone, they might go ahead and be bickering. That bickering there is symbolic.
There's a point for it.
There's a point for it. It means something. They're showing you something. Now, if you just take it as, oh, how could these spirits bicker? They're elevated spirits. No, it represents something. It means maybe the two forces are in, like, clashing with each other. Those two forces clash. Right? If you think about what Kuzan is, right? Kuzan is about the earth, working the earth, and the bounty of the earth. Think about what Gede is. He's about death. So, like, if you're a farmer and you want your crops to grow, you don't want your crops to die. For you, you're all about growth and abundance and growing, things being filled with that active force of life. Right? With that active force of life that brings about, like, manifestation. Right, in the form of things growing. Whereas Git is the basically reverse of that.
Yeah. So if you saw them bickering in front of you or whatever, like if they were talking to you but bickering, then it would show some sense of clash, as you're saying, within yourself.
Or in your life.
In your life or mm-hmm. Exactly, okay.
Yeah. So that's why people don't understand. So, like,
but that's sometimes... That's everything, though. That's everything in spirituality. There's a lot of symbolism.
It's all symbolism.
Yeah, like, basically, like, you could see someone getting...
So another thing, like, this is off of Kuzan, but this is another spirit, right? So sometimes, like, if you see multiple Oguz in a ceremony, they can start, like, fighting with the machetes and clashing them at each other and yelling at each other and going back and forth. That's just, again, it's symbolic of war. They're spirits of war. They're both warriors. Okay? And they're also symbolic of, like, how warriors naturally competitive. They compete against each other, and everyone wants to be the winning one, the one who rules the roost while they're there.
Gotcha.
Right? So people will be like, oh, that doesn't... No, it's because it's symbolic of something. And it can also be speaking of something that's going on at that time or whatever in that temple or amongst those people serving that spirit. You feel me?
Got you. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
You know, you gotta like look at it from a bigger perspective. So,
okay, yeah, so we're about time. Wait, here. No, but before we end it, why not go ahead and tell me about one of your experiences with Kuzan, like.
Okay, so I had an experience with Kuzan. So one of the things they say is that when you ask all the different spirits, they can do all different types of shit. They can do all different types of work. But a lot of times, the spirit that you ask, like, basically the work manifests in a way that kind of shows some of their traits or qualities, right? So at one time, I asked Kuzan for work. And I didn't have a lot. So I offered Kuzan a little something that I had that came to me in a vision what I should do. So I did that. And I thought to myself, like, you know, I just did the work. And I didn't think much of it about asking Kuzan, but I asked him because I know he's a hard worker and he's a hard working spirit that does your work fast. Gotcha. He works fast because he's always working.
And you need this job.
Yeah, exactly. So gotcha. Sun up to sundown, right? So now, within 3 days of that work, I got a call from a job that I had applied to like 6 months before that I really didn't think took me serious, because when I called to apply, I was like, I'm calling to apply, like I need the information or whatever. And you know, this was back in the day when you would like basically like see ads in the paper and shit like that. And they're like, okay, what's your name? They took my name and my phone number down and then basically hung up the phone. Like, I didn't really take it too serious, like, you know.
Never thought you were gonna
never heard there. From them again, et cetera, et cetera.
Gotcha.
But I heard from these people, and the job was to be a dishwasher. Mm. And that job was for real hard-ass work, okay? I didn't even last 3 days. After 3 days, I was like, hell with this job. I know how to do other work to make money easier. But I still gave him an offering. I gave him a thank you, et cetera. Now, I already knew that because I left that job go and I wasn't going like from one job to another, that if I asked him for another job, he wasn't going to like move so quick for me, because he's going to be kind of like salty about the fact that I, like, had I left that job he gave me for something better, he would have like had no problem like helping me out again. But because I left some work for no work, he wasn't going to be down with that.
So explain, okay, so...
Because now, like, I just wasted his time getting me a job and then letting it go because I was just like, oh, this is really, like, strenuous labor, you know?
Betcha,
and okay. I can make money other ways, but Kuzan's all about work, 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 right? So I can make money in other ways. My other ways are slower in doing business, little here, little there, etc. So it's not like I'm consistently working, 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 yeah.
Gotcha. And so that's one reason you wouldn't go back or whatever. But also, you give him the offering and thank you because he still gave you the work.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not work that you wanted or so on and so forth.
No.
He still did it.
He still did it and he gave me the job.
And you have to still appreciate that.
Yeah, because whether or not it's a job I wanted or not, like, first of all, when you ain't got no work, you should always start from the... When you have no work, and this is something I tell everyone who's clients and stuff like that, all my clients, etc., like, you should just take anything that's coming your way. Because from that position, it's easier to get more. You already start flowing energy of work with you. But when you have no work, being picky will make work take longer to get to you. So it's going to take you longer to get work. So it's kind of like you might as well be making something rather than a zero.
Right? Yeah.
But once you start making some money, you should keep that work and then continue to look for other work, because then you'll find more work more easily.
Because you already right? have it with you.
Yeah, already have that energy. And that energy of desperation is not there so heavy with you. When you have that desperate energy to get work in, it actually drives work away from you.
Got you.
Like, it's just like, basically, you got to treat a lot of things like love. When you, like, when someone's, like, overly desperate or whatever, that makes them unattractive. So it happens the same thing with the energies and with work.
Gotcha.
So a lot of people, they want to have, like, their dream job as the first offer or first thing that they get right off the bat, da-da-da-da-da. And I'll be like, nah, just take whatever you get. You can eventually move towards that. But if you got nothing, it's going to be harder for you to get that.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
So that's what we got for you guys today. Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, favorite podcast app. Donate to the temple. Help at mysticalwork.com via PayPal, $HectorSalva at Cash App. And like, comment, follow for more. Share. Many blessings.